All right. Welcome, everybody, at C3. I'm just using my mind, just thinking about some things. Change your thinking. Change your life is our theme. Welcome right here in this venue, out in the other venues. How about online? If you're online sitting by yourself in a room, I want you to shout out really loud so nobody can hear you. So it's just fun. You got to have some energy because I felt like last hour I was a little bit downplayed, right? So this week, this hour, you're going to get everything I got. And then third hour, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe it'll build off from there, but I need something because here's the deal. When I've been working on this message for changing our thinking, changing our mind, and specifically today, we're talking about winning the battle of the mind. And I'm sitting here all depressed. I'm actually not winning. Isn't that weird? So I'm just going to be completely transparent to you. In the last 3 or 4 days, I have been experiencing such diminishment in the way I feel, which, by the way, isn't a reality, right? Because who I am is different than the way I feel. Who I am is who Jesus Christ says I am. But I just want you to know that we all go through times and spaces. I haven't done anything wrong, at least majorly wrong, that I know of, right? There's maybe something, I don't know. I haven't, the Lord's still loves me. I'm still worshiping him every day. But the last 3 or 4 days, I've been sitting around going, why do I have this lack of energy? Why can't I focus? Have you ever felt like that? Would you shout if you felt like that before? Okay. So today, I'm just letting you know. That's where I'm coming from today. And so if you're new here today, and I've been yelling at you, and you're like, who is the dude standing here yelling at me? My name is Pastor Adam, and I'm one of the pastors here. And there's this other guy that we let up here once in a while named Mark. And Mark is off on a trip. We're going to be telling you some awesome things that C3 is doing. But while he's on the trip, we have a culture on our staff that likes to kind of tease each other. So, and things, I always see patterns in things, patterns in my mind, things that I think are funny that sometimes nobody else thinks is funny. So I'm going to try this one. Okay, I think it might have been a dud last hour, but I don't care, right? Mark's gone, so I'm going to tease him a little bit. All right. So the other week and previous weeks to that, I've heard Mark say something and it's kind of been a trigger for me. And he keeps saying it over and over again. And that word is kicking the tires. Okay. So he keeps saying kicking the tires. And so I think that's so funny because I just hear the pattern over and over again. So I'm sitting with my son, just like you guys are, you know, minding your own business, really paying attention, real godly all like and everything. And I keep hearing this word kicking the tires. And every time I do it, I just leave him on my son. He said, kicking the tires again. And we laugh. And when I hit him on the leg every time that Mark said kicking the tires. I think I counted 8 times last week. Now, here's what we're going to do. Every time I say kicking the tires, I want you to high five the person next to you. Kicking the tires. Let's high five all around. All the venues, you guys do it too. The next time when he comes back, he may watch this, he may not. But if he says kicking the tires, we just start high fiving. And he's probably going to go, oh, whoa, yeah, you're kicking the tires. What we mean by kicking the tires is that people, if you're new here today, we want you to be welcomed. We want you to feel like you're on a journey and you're trying to figure out, is it following Jesus Christ right for you? Is this the space? Are these guys real? Are these guys actually telling the truth? Can I believe this stuff? Do I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And so if you're here and you're exploring, we want you to take all the time you need to explore. And you know what we're going to do? We're just going to keep loving you and we're going to keep inviting you and we're going to keep asking you to have that relationship, okay? So that's the deal we have with everybody that's new here today. Well, the funny thing about kicking the tires, boom. Oh, yeah, this is going to work. So the funny thing about kicking the tires is that I was telling my wife the story, and all of a sudden, we're watching Hallmark Channel. Not all of a sudden, because lately, we've been watching it all the time. I've got like 2 terabytes of storage of Hallmark movies, okay? There are many rewards for watching Hallmark with your wife, I'm telling you right now. So you want to just pay attention. So we're watching Hallmark, and actually, you know what? I don't want to watch it at all at first. And then I'm like, after I start watching, like, oh, this story's kind of good. I don't want to admit it, but I'm like, oh, I like this romance. Oh, this is really good. This is kind of fun. Look at this relationship. And then one movie we watched that had this cool song, and I ended up looking up the song, and then I'm posting on Facebook, look at the song I got from Hallmark Channel. I mean, everybody abandoned me. I have no more friends on Facebook at all. So then I'm thinking, okay, so we're sitting there, we're watching this Hallmark Channel, and all of a sudden, Kicking the Tires comes on screen. Unbelievable. Let's take a look at the scene.
Roger snores loudly. Do I smell like a horse? I feel like I smell like a horse.
It's a dude ranch, Ben. And stop evading my question. Why are you here?
You know, Roger, he likes to see things with his own eyes, kick the tires before making a move, you know.
So he's going to make a move on Harmony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy, his friend is just kicking the tires, seeing what's going on, seeing if he can check out this girl, get in a romantic relationship with her. That's kicking the tires. You can kick the tires at church. Okay. This is going to be crazy. Okay. So I want you to know I've got a my mind wanders all over the place sometimes, right? But sometimes I want that dang mind to be so focused and so ready and so prepared. The other day I was getting up and I was thinking about this message. Remember, I told you I've been feeling a little diminished, a little down. So I'm like, I got to have a day where I'm just going to allow God's spirit to just rise up within me. I got to understand what I'm talking about, you know, Lord help me. And so I decide I'm going to get up and I'm not going to really talk to anybody. I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to listen to some worship music. Then I'm going to get clean. I'm going to take my shower. I take a shower every day, don't worry. So I'm going to get clean. I'm going to do the normal stuff, but I'm just going to focus my mind on what God has for me, right? And I'm not going to watch any TV. Sometimes I get sucked into a series or two, right? And so the next thing I know, it's an hour later. And so I wanted just to have something really meaty. And I was thinking, oh yeah, God, you're calling me just to be silent before you and have this time all day, kind of fasting and such. So the first thing that happens is I get out of the shower and my oldest son comes up to me and he goes, Hey, Dad, I got this awesome video I want you to see. Awesome video. Now, my oldest son, he probably will hate that characterization of him, but that's my characterization of everybody talking to me. I go, and stuff like that. So it's okay, all right? So he goes up to me, he says, I want you to watch this video. Well, the thing is, my son sometimes, okay, can say he's got a quick video for me to watch, and it's 35 minutes long. And I don't want to watch it at that moment. I got other videos I want to watch or maybe other things I want to read, right? So I'm kind of testy, not feeling that great. So I'm all telling him, I'm like immediately, as soon as he walks up to me, I know he's going to ask me to watch a video because he does it all the time, right? So he's like, can I watch a video? I'm like, no, I'm busy. I'm trying to remain focused on Jesus Christ. That's what I said. I said that. That is the most ridiculous thing you can say to your son who's trying to have a relationship with you, whom you want to pass on the relevance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? That's not something you say to him, right? So he's like, well, that's rude, you know? You don't even care about what I care about. I go, you don't even care about what I care about. In fact, you're kind of selfish walking up to me thinking I'm going to stop everything, drop everything, and just start watching your videos. You do it all the time. And so I just start going on and on and on and on. I'm terrible. I should not be up here. No, actually, I should be up here because you guys experience these kinds of things too. And so we go through this process and we're thinking and I'm working with him and he's like, finally we get to the bottom. We get in a big fight. We ended up getting in a big argument. And I told him he ruined my day and he probably ruined this message. That's how I ended the conversation with him. But then I went back and said, oh, just speak your mind. Let me know what you need. How can we repair this situation? You know how that goes. So he told me it ended up being like a 30-second video he wanted me to watch. 30 seconds. Well, we're talking about winning the battle of the mind, and I'm convinced we're in a great war. I'm convinced that Satan, our enemy, and even just the world around us, you know, I'm convinced even our own biological chemicals are working against us. I think that it wants to take us down. I think it wants to diminish you. I think it wants to get you in the state that I felt like the last 3 days. I kind of wondered, I go, man, these last 3 days, I felt like crud, you know? I'm like, I wonder how many people at C3 feel like crud, all like this. I'm thinking, this would be terrible, just terrible. I would not want to experience this at all. I would not wish it on my worst enemy. And so I'm sitting here going, okay, there's a great war going on in the mind. And to win, it requires not only just us doing something, not only is just thinking differently, but it actually takes something coming from the outside in. And the Bible and Jesus Christ refers that to as regeneration. He says he's going to come in, he's going to invade your life when you repent. And he's going to take over inside of you and literally change you from the inside out. But then the interesting thing happens. A war takes place between the indwelling Holy Spirit that comes into your life and your thought life and the things that you used to do and your habits and your hangups and the way you used to think about yourself and everybody who put you down when you were a kid and all the situations you stepped into that was painful and hurt. They all raise to the surface as the Holy Spirit is trying to convince you that he's in love with you and you have everything you need in Jesus Christ. I'm convinced there's a big war, and the strategy of our enemy is to take us down from the inside. About 8 years ago, it was suggested to me, a mentor that I have said, hey, Adam, I've been doing something for a few years. I want you to try it. I want you to add a discipline to your life each year. And so each year I've added a discipline. The rules were it had to make a difference in my life, it had to be repeatable, and it could not be overly complex. So I did things like you do, right? I said, okay, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through each year. Done. Bam. I've done it ever since, right? And these disciplines will stack on each other. I'm going to journal at least 3 times a week, and I'm going to process my thoughts when I have negative thoughts or when I've accidentally harmed someone or hurt someone. Yeah, it's possible, right? Sometimes we don't speak correctly to other people. Sometimes we have attitude problems and we hurt other people. Why journal? Like, how did I do that? What was I thinking? Why did I do it? What am I doing? How about attend a group, a C3 group, plus one extra group? I wanted to connect with other pastors in the country, actually, and I had this group that I could connect with, and so I did that, right? But the list goes on and on. Each year, I add one thing. And there's one thing that I want to give you today, but I'm going to give it to you down the line in your notes today. I'm going to give it to you down the line in your notes, but there's one thing that has really revolutionized the way I go about my daily breathing and process of experiencing the Holy Spirit, and I want to give that to you today as well. So let's talk a little bit about this battle of the mind. I want to start by giving you context. It's important when you're reading scripture that you understand the context of the person writing. And we've been dealing all month with the writings of Paul. And Mark shared with us, you can go back and watch some of those videos, and Mark shared with us some of the context that he's in, but I want to share it from my perspective. Here's Paul. He is an expert in the law. He knows everything that a person must do right. In fact, in one passage in scripture, he looks at his audience and he says, I do all those things according to law. I'm perfect, in other words. I did all those things. But he had a revolution. And this is so significant because Paul then went to around the Roman Empire, okay, to all these different cities. And all these different cities, you know, they had unique cultures in each of these cities. It wasn't just homogeneous or whatever you want to call it, whatever the right term is for that. It was unique, distinct cultures. He would go into that place, connect with them where they're at, and share this good news. Here's what transformed Paul's life. Paul saw the risen Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus Christ. You see, our faith is not based on a bunch of laws. If it was based on a bunch of laws, Paul would just be talking to us and he'd be saying, hey, you know, just follow the Old Testament laws and you'll be good. In fact, I've heard some churches kind of talk like that, like just You know what? The basis of the Christian faith is follow all these laws and then you'll be right with the Lord. It is not. It's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his grace and his mercy for you, and the empowerment of accepting that free gift. That's how we win. It isn't based on works. We do some things afterwards because of Jesus Christ living in us, not to cause Jesus to like us better. So from Paul's perspective, the battle of our mind is vicious. It's intense. He talks about it all the time. He says that the enemy is unfair. And as he's going through these different cities, he writes one to Romans. On your notes, it says Romans 8, 5 through 6. We'll take a look at that. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, okay? Now, before you get paused and you go, oh, no, he's talking about sin. Yeah, sin just means that it's out of sync with God's will. That's all sin is just being out of sync. We're not sure what God's will is. We're doing something. Maybe we're in rebellion. Maybe we're just actively ignorant. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about what? Things that please the Spirit. So we had this verse going forward in a couple of weeks ago as well. The Holy Spirit controls your mind. The Holy Spirit is part. When we think about these things, we need to think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind will lead to death. It's a very easy concept here. But letting the Holy Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. I want you to key in on a word that you maybe not have keyed on before. And that word is letting. Letting. Okay? Notice that the Holy Spirit doesn't just force you to comply. He doesn't force you to comply with his will. He lets you, or you let him, participate in your heart and mind and your life in order to follow after God's will. And when you let him transform your mind and transform your thinking and transform your life, then you experience life and peace. So there's some action on our part. God never forces his way in and throws you around and tosses you around. He wants us to allow him to make the change in our life over time. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. That's your fill in the blank. I want to call your attention to something. It should be on screen, right? It is. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. On your notes, the last fill in the blank, the last one, okay? We are not going to do that one. We're going to erase it, okay? And that was part of my wrestling match, but when we get there, I'll see if I can't share why we're erasing the last one I'm going to share with you. But I just want you to know we're not going to that end. We're going to the one prior to that. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. You know, it's like that for me. It's like that for me. I've been staring in the mirror lately, and when I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. And it isn't that thing, you know, where I'm seeing past my face and I'm looking inside my heart and I don't like, it's not that. It's that I don't like my face. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. Growing old has been extremely psychologically difficult for me. As far as what the body does and how it changes, you know? Like when I see Facebook posts, I'm not joking. The first thing I see is this puffy, you're going to see it now forever. But on one of these eyes, it's reversed, you know, when you take a picture, so I can't remember which one it is. But one of these eyes is puffier than the other one. And it's something that hangs on to me. And I'm just like looking at it, and I go, and Julie takes a lot, my wife takes a lot of pictures, you know? I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And by the time I've said no 10 times, I'm like, just forget it. Put them all up there. It doesn't matter, you know? There's not one of those that are going to be good, you know? So sometimes, I know it sounds funny, but sometimes little things can really wreak havoc with you. So I was thinking about this, and remember I told you I was kind of in a weird state of mind this week. And so now I'm worried about being old. I got the state of mind. My knee's been hurting me when I'm on the tennis court. That's been ticking me off. So I'm putting the stupid band thing on it. I'm like, oh, it's like old man band thing. And I'm trying to play. I'm just hating it. So then I go home on Friday night and I go look in my bathroom mirror. And lo and behold, is the biggest freaking zit you've ever seen in your life on the end of my nose. That's on Friday. and it's a big old white. I thought I was 15 again. You know, I was so frustrated. And so I just killed it. I mean, I just took sledgehammers to it, knives. I am not going to let that thing overtake my nose at any time. And luckily, hey, it cleared up by Sunday. That's a pretty good deal. But my son sees me just working on this thing. He goes, dude, you're aggressive. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm old. That's why. So there are a lot of things in our mind that kind of have this stronghold. I was counseling with a person who had really gone through some tough things, but they were working their way out of it, right? They were starting to think differently, think more clearly, put some boundaries in place. And we were working together. And whenever they left my office, I thought to myself, I don't think they're going to do anything we suggested. I don't think they're going to do anything that we came up together to do. I don't think they're going to do it. And so they sooner or later, they came back pretty soon, like 4 or 5 months later. Person comes back, victory. Hey, Adam, I did some of the things. I didn't do other things, but I did some of the things. And all of a sudden I started getting a different perspective. And then things changed and I put some boundaries in play. And then those same people that were dragging me down, they kind of dispersed and got out of my life. And now I'm rolling a little stronger. And she said this comment, and this is what I wanted to reflect to you because it's real for me too. She says, I knew it could be done, but I did not think I could actually do it. I know it can be done because I've seen it done in other people's lives, but I just don't think I can actually do it. Have you ever been in that space before? I want you to know that you can actually do it when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he does it through you. He regenerates your thinking. So in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it talks about this warfare. And we've been dealing with this verse all month. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to what? Demolish strongholds. That's correct. Yeah. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, so we have to do something, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We've been working on this all month long. We take captive our thoughts to make our thoughts obedient to the truth of Jesus Christ. To the truth of Jesus Christ. Not to, I don't know, some self-help. Although self-help is involved, but when we have the Holy Spirit, it's much, much more powerful because we're using divine tools provided us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. One definition of stronghold you heard earlier this month, a stronghold can be self-entrapment. A stronghold can be a belief about something that really isn't true. It's a self-lie. You've closed the door. You think somebody locked it from the outside and nobody did. You've shut yourself in and you've closed yourself in. Self-entrapment. And Mark told a wonderful illustration about his college buddy whom he claimed to have trapped, and the guy didn't know it, and the guy for sure thought he was trapped, and he stayed in there for hours when he only had to be in there for 5 minutes, and that was a funny story. But the lie we tell ourselves sometimes causes us to close our own door. It isn't true. Maybe that's worry, fear, guilt, resentment, envy, insecurity. But Paul is saying to us to take captive every thought, to conquer it, to bring it under control. That's what captivity means, to take control over those negative thoughts. Here's the problem though. My mind doesn't always mind. My mind doesn't always mind. It doesn't. You know, I want to gain 10 pounds. I actually want to lose about 5 pounds of fat, and I want to gain about 10 pounds of muscle mass. Wouldn't that be awesome? And I want my chest to inflate when I do this. I want to go like this. And I just want it to go boom, you know? But every time I go to the club, I walk right by all the free weights, and I go play tennis. So my mind doesn't always mind. I want something, but I don't always follow through and do that. My mind has a rebellious nature. Sometimes it has a mind of its own. So we're taking captives of our thoughts, aren't we? If the power to demolish stronghold is taking captive every thought, how do we do it then? We're going to go through four things, four ways to do this. First of all, don't believe everything you think. Now, that might seem obvious, but a lot of times we think, well, if I thought it came from inside, therefore it must be true. No, it isn't. Have you ever met someone who has, a mental illness? Do you think everything they're thinking is going to be true, accurate, and healthy and ready? I'm going to argue we have a state of mental illness at times too, at least from a spiritual sense or metaphysical sense, in that the Lord has told us that our mind has been changed and transformed by this world in a negative way, and he's working to restore it and set it free. So in that way, you could argue that sin is a mental illness as well. And so sometimes what we think isn't actually true. So I would not believe everything that you think. Just because you think something does not make it true. So I think false things all the time. As an example, I had this I had this 5-pound bag of jelly beans. I love Starburst jelly beans. Okay? That's a strong word. I hate Jelly Bellies. I know, you're going to dislike me now. You liked me before when I was making fun of Mark. Now you don't like me. That's okay. I like Starburst jelly beans. And last year I bought a 5-pound bag of Starburst jelly beans. And here's the deal. Here's what I noticed. I can actually withstand jelly beans. I can walk by the counter when they're there and I won't take them, right? Until I'm about to get sick. I don't know if there's any doctors that can help me understand this, but I think there's something weird about it. So when I'm about to get sick, oh man, I want several handfuls of jelly beans, of Starburst jelly beans. I mean, my salivary glands are just going, jelly beans. They just want it. And so it's really weird. And my wife will come up to me. She'll see me like taking these like some weirdo just digging in. I didn't eat them before. Now I'm just putting them all in my mouth. And she'll go, I think you're getting sick. And you know what I'll say? No. Sick? I just want jelly beans. I haven't eaten these jelly beans for 2 months. Of course I like jelly beans. And sure enough, I am not joking you, I always get sick. I think it's some sugar craving or something weird like that that happens. We have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. And those are funny things that I talk about, but there are real and dangerous things as well. Sometimes we tell ourselves, things aren't as bad, but they really are. Sometimes, we're doing okay. But we're not doing okay. Sometimes we tell ourselves, it's no big deal, when it is a very big deal. Don't believe everything you think. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? So we want to not believe everything we think. Number two, we want to change our inputs. We talked a little bit about this month, talking about reframing our minds. We change our inputs. Sometimes we think a faulty formula. The faulty formula is this: changed feelings equals changed thinking equals changed behavior. So in other words, we start with our feelings and we go, okay, if my feelings would just change, then my thinking will change, then my behavior will change. But that's a little skewed. I want us to look at the success formula. The success formula is this: first change the behavior. Like when I'm walking by the gym stuff, I just turn. I don't feel like it. I have no feel. I don't feel like it at the moment. I'd rather go to the tennis court, but I walk over to the free weights, right? Change behavior equals change thinking. Then it transforms our feelings. Change thinking gives us the life and peace that we read about in Romans, right? So change behavior equals change thinking equals changed feelings. Don't get confused. Proverbs 15:14, King Solomon says this: a wise person is hungry for truth while the fool just feeds on trash. We're talking about guarding ourselves. So number three then, we have to go quickly. We only got a few minutes. We replace our focus. We replace our focus. I have a question for you. What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking this month? Why don't you take time to write some down? See which ones are real for you. Maybe they're things like, I can't get anything done. I'm not good enough. I'm a terrible dad. I'm not as attractive as other people. I'm just throwing my, some of mine. Hashtag I'm ugly. I'm always going to battle with such and such a hang up. I'm very inconsistent, on again, off again with the Lord. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're, I'm an undisciplined person. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm always struggling with my weight. I'm just not good with people. I'm just an average student. All these things. And how about this? Ask yourself, what spiritual truth will demolish these strongholds? And I want you to go to group life if you're in group life at C3, and I want you to be able to walk through and be a little transparent. It's not going to be always easy, but I want you to share some of these things in your group. Perhaps the example of the stronghold breaker is, I have everything I need. I have everything I need to do everything that God calls me to do. How about Christ in me is more than enough? How about this might be yours? How about worry is now my master? My faith is in God and God alone. There's so many different ways to phrase that. I wanted to give you an example of the thing that has transformed my thinking a lot. It helps me refocus and reframe at the beginning of the day. It's this two pieces of paper. They're taped to my mirror, my bathroom mirror, and they have a toothpaste splatter all over them because I brush my teeth there and it just goes everywhere. I got one of those electric toothpastes, so it's all crunkled, all the paper. But I'm just going to share a couple of things from each category with you. These are things that I affirm and I speak out loud when I wake up, and they're affirms when I go to bed, whenever I'm about to brush my teeth. Truth about me and God. I'm just going to share a couple of from each section. I cannot stop God from loving and valuing me because it's about his character, not my behavior. I cannot stop the love of God. In Christ, I have the limitless power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead working inside of me. So victory is always achievable. How about this? The truth about me and myself. I am responsible for all of my actions, attitudes, and behaviors. I will blame no one. How about this one? My default is to be defensive and make excuses, which flow from pride and insecurity. Truth about my family. My wife is a beautiful gift from God. She deserves my attention, my affection, my protection, and my devotion. The truth about me and C3, my church. I am not responsible for the choices that other people make, but I am responsible for equipping people under my care for spiritual maturity. I am here to grow spiritually healthy people. People do not exist to make me successful. I exist to help them become more like Jesus Christ. The truth about the Tri-Cities and the culture around me. Cursing the darkness is exhausting, pointless, and ultimately counterproductive to God's goal for the world. Instead, I'm supposed to go in and bring light into the world and rescue people from darkness. Everyone needs Jesus. Everyone belongs in God's family. Every single person I come in contact with. And those are just a few of the things and ways that I spend time reframing my thoughts and my mind. Well, lastly, we're kind of out of time, but I want to give you this one on patiently enduring temptation. Patiently enduring. In James 1, 12 through 15, I'm just going to read the first part of this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. We're going to stop right there. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. The reason I wanted to rest on this is that oftentimes we think that when things are going great and nothing's going wrong and we're not struggling and I'm not having 3 days of disappointment, right? Oftentimes we think when everything's going great, that's exactly the status quo. That's what God wants for me. But I'm telling you right now that God sometimes allows you to be in these places where you're going to be tempted. Sometimes with habits and hangups and things that you've done in the past, you're going to be tempted. That's not a sign of you rebelling against God. That's a sign of God working out that of your life, pushing it to the edges, helping you say, Lord, I need you now. I'm going to reinvest in repentance. I'm going to reinvest in my life in Jesus Christ. And so it's your opportunity. So patiently endure the testing. Well, I don't have time to do any more illustrations, although I'd love to, but I want you to write down number four. We establish authentic relationships. We do not do this on our own. We've said it so many times. You got to be in a group. You got to be connected to other faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You got to be transparent, authentic, real. You got to risk some things. You got to share what's going on in your life. And maybe somebody will look at you and go, I'm dealing with the same thing. And it's supposed to be okay in the body of Christ. That's why it says in John 13:35, when people watch this kind of activity in our lives, it's authenticity. It says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The love for one another. Inside, in the groups, inside your Christian relationships. That's what demonstrates to the world that you're my disciples. Well, lastly, just so you can write it down, we maintain conviction. We maintain conviction. And conviction is not an opinion. Conviction is something that you will die for. And that's what Paul was convicted. He was convicted that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave, and he was beat. He was killed on occasions and walked out of a big pile of rocks. And there are all kinds of things about Paul. He believed. He didn't just have an opinion. And that's what we want to have. That's what we want the next generation to have. So grateful for you coming out. Let's pray. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to live for you. I want you to be part of my life. I want to be set free in Jesus' name. I recognize that I'm a sinner, and I repent and ask that your Holy Spirit would come and fill me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are followers of Christ, let me just pray a blessing over you. Lord Jesus, bless every person here. Help them take captive every thought for Jesus Christ. Help them remember the resurrection power in Jesus' name, and help them go forward breaking strongholds and living for Christ in their workplaces, at school, and in their families. We pray these things into existence in Jesus' name. Amen.